And it is only by the blood of Jesus that we can stand. Amen. Cleansed, forgiven, redeemed by his precious blood. This last song is just a prayer course for us. If you would stand with us. And we're not going to have any music. We're just going to lift our voices to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. And we're just going to declare that it's only by his blood that we can be made new, that we can have life and have it abundantly in him. So if you would just lift your voices, let everything else fade away and just sing praise and glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Oh, the cross of Jesus. Oh, the cross of Jesus. Oh, the cross of Jesus. His death brings life to me. Oh, the love of Jesus. Oh, the love of Jesus. Oh, the love of Jesus. He freely gives to me. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Amen. If you believe that, let's give him praise this morning. We're going to continue to celebrate the blood of Jesus that washes us white as snow. And if you're a prayer partner, every Sunday we lift Brother Donnie up before he brings the word of God to us. So if you're a prayer partner, if you'd come forward at this time before he brings the word of God.
Again, good to see everybody today. We had a Jordan thinking for the last few weeks that we were going to hold him under for 30 seconds. And so he'd been working on that and practicing. So that was pretty neat. You know, he was expecting 30 seconds. He wasn't expecting the cold water. And that was the funnest part. I love seeing the face. But anyway, it's certainly good to be here today. Thank you for joining us. When you think of loving generously, if you're like me, a lot of times when we think of generosity, we think of it in terms of what we can give as far as monetary resources and of the material possessions and the things we have in our lives, how we can be generous in the way we do those things. But over the last few weeks, we've been learning how loving generously is much more than just a financial commitment. It's more than just something you do with what you have and what God has given you according to your resources. But loving generously is really loving in a way that it affects every relationship we have in our lives. Loving in a way that we are willing to break down the barriers that we have placed in our lives and to love everybody regardless of who they are, what they've done, where they've been, loving them the way that God himself loves you and I. And so we started the series Loving Generously by reminding ourselves what love really is, how that we are commanded to love in Scripture. It is not something that we are suggested to do as believers. We have to love other people. It's not something we can just choose to do or not to do without feeling the consequences of making the choice to not love other people. If we really love generously, though, we're going to make sure every single day that we live that we invite the right kind of people into our lives. Now, what I mean by that is this: God loves everybody. God invites everyone to his table of grace to experience salvation. But you and I, if we are not careful, We try to invite only those who look just like us, who talk just like us, and who act just like us. And I shared with you a couple of Sundays ago how it's kind of foolish for us as believers to act as though people who don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ should act like we do and dress like we do and speak like we do. We should never expect lost people to look like saved people because they don't have a relationship with Jesus. And as Christians, we are so guilty of not allowing those who are different than us to have access to our lives. Not willing to open our hearts to love people even though they're different. And as believers, we need to follow the example of Jesus and welcome every single person, regardless of who they are, into our lives. Then last week, we talked about loving generously with the idea of how oftentimes some of the things that hinder us from loving the way we need to, living like we need to, are some of the very things that are good, but yet we hold on to them so much so that we miss out on living the life that God wants us to. And we just simply call all of that stuff clutter. We clutter our lives with so many attitudes of our heart. We clutter our lives with so many stuff and so many things that oftentimes we'll hold to all the stuff and we're not willing to get rid of what we need to get rid of in our lives so that God can take our lives and teach us how to love and to live the way He wants us to. So we talked about cleaning out the clutter in our lives last Sunday. We're going to continue our journey today, and we've been walking through a video portion of this series with the Donovan family. This is a family that's very wealthy. They've had their view of generosity totally changed and transformed by God as they've been connected with the soup kitchen and ministering and trying to meet the needs of those through the soup kitchen. The last couple of weeks, we've enjoyed the first two videos in this series, and we're going to watch today as we continue kind of on the story we picked up on last week. Now, last Sunday morning, we learned that one of the ladies that they were helping through the soup kitchen, she had gotten involved, so to speak, with the kingpin, if you will, in a prostitution ring. And he was really being the Lord over her life. She was in bondage and indebted to him, and he was making her life miserable. Well, today in our video clip, we're going to see the church in action as they are willing to do whatever it takes to show kindness to this woman and helping her be delivered from the bondage that was over her life. So please watch this video and then we'll continue the message. We've asked you this morning to turn to Proverbs chapter 19, if you would. I want to ask you to do that. We're going to draw from a single verse together as the focal verse in our time together today. And I believe it's one of the most powerful verses that can motivate a person to live generously and to love generously with their lives. Perhaps one of the most powerful verses in the entire Bible to motivate us to do that, and it was briefly referred to in the video just a moment ago. Proverbs chapter 19, in one verse, verse 17. Proverbs 19 and verse 17. So let's read this together. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. Now the gentleman in the movie there, he made a comment of how when we show kindness to the poor, when we show kindness to those less fortunate, to those in need, that God owes us. Now when you first hear that, you think, that sounds a little off, doesn't it? How many of you thought that when you heard that? You thought there is no way that God owes us anything. But this verse is specifically giving us the idea that when we show pity, when we minister and meet the needs of those who are less fortunate, it is as if we are lending or meeting the needs of God, so to speak, which He doesn't really have, but it's giving us the idea that when we do that, then God will repay us, that God will reward us. And today I want to talk to you about blessing God by blessing others. Because again, that even though it sounds strange, that is really what this verse is teaching us that we can do. If we truly live our lives in such a way that we are loving people the way God wants us to live them, we can bless the one who gives us all of our blessings through His grace and His favor if we are a blessing to those in need. What an amazing thought. And when we do that, when we bless God by blessing others, when we move to meet the needs of others and those who are less fortunate, and when we do that, we move the heart of God. And when we move the heart of God, as we bless others, we bless Him and God blesses us. That is the promise the Scripture is giving us. When we decide to love other people the way that God wants us to love, especially those who have needs that probably many of us have never experienced in our lives. And if we have, it's probably been a really long time since we've experienced those things. Blessing God by blessing others. And here's the first thing that I want us to talk about this morning. When it comes to you and I being able to bless God by blessing other people, here's the first truth we need to get. In order to do this, God's heart has to become our heart. The heart of God must become the heart that you and I have as we walk through life every single day. One thing this verse helps us realize is just how big of a heart God has for those in need. Think about this for a moment. God moved heaven and earth, and I mean that as much as you can mean that. God moved heaven and earth to meet the spiritual need of all of mankind when He sent His Son Jesus Christ from heaven to earth, from the earth to the cross to the grave, for you and for me. God moved heaven and earth to make that happen in meeting your spiritual need and my spiritual need. And if God has such a heart for a person's spiritual needs, how great of a heart must God also have for one's physical needs? Have you ever thought about that? In fact, it was Christ Himself who would often meet the physical need of one before He would meet the spiritual need, because He understood that it was important to meet the physical before He could meet the spiritual need. Just follow the life of Christ through the Gospels, and you see Christ exemplifying the same truth of how important it is for us to understand that people who are hurting, people who have needs, people that are far worse off than we are, people who are dealing with things that we're not dealing with, people who have so little in comparison to the much that we have, those are the people who God has a very special place in His heart for. He has a very special place in His heart. He has a special concern for those who are poor, for those who are underprivileged, for those who have great need, so much so that this verse, He essentially tells us that when we show kindness to them, we are showing kindness to Him. We're blessing the heart of God when we bless other people. And Jesus even shared it this way in Matthew chapter 25. And this is when He was referring to what's called the judgment of the nations, the judgment of the sheep and the goats. But He gives us this idea and really builds upon what this verse in Proverbs is teaching us. Jesus said, and He's speaking of that day of judgment, "Then shall the king say unto them on His right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Now listen to what Jesus says. "For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you as a stranger and took you in? Or when did we see you naked and clothed you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and we came to you?" And look at verse 40. "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily," that means truly, "truly, I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren," what does Jesus say? "You have done it unto me." Do you see what happened here? Now remember, this is so important to the heart of God that He makes sure that we understand that helping others is a matter of eternal life or death, in the essence that it proves whether or not we have faith in Him. What a powerful statement that Jesus has made here. Again, this is the judgment that determines heaven or hell for these people. And meeting the needs of others is so important that Jesus tells those who fed the hungry, He tells those who gave drink to the thirsty, those who took a stranger in, those who clothed the naked, those who visited the sick, those who visited the imprisoned, He tells them that it's as if they had done it for Him. It's that important to the heart of God. That important. You see, in this verse in Proverbs 19 and verse 17, in the passage we just shared in Matthew chapter 25 and in many other places in Scripture, we are given a picture of the heart of God. People want to say, well, what is the heart of God like? How does God see this or God see that? The Word is how we know the heart of God. The Spirit that lives within us is how we know the heart of God. And God has declared to us, "This is my heart. This is my heart." It's as if the window is opened to the heart of God. And here is what we see. We see His heart for those who hurt. We see His heart for those in need. We see His heart for those less fortunate. We see that He notices their needs. We see that He hears the cries of those who have deep concerns. And just think about this for a moment. If this wasn't His heart, then you and I would be in great trouble. If God did not have this heart toward those in need, then you and I, if we are Christians, we would still be lost in our sins, and as the Bible teaches us, headed for an eternity separated from the love and presence of God. But because He has a heart for those in need, He met our spiritual needs through His Son Jesus. But more than that, He meets the physical needs of those who are in need, and He desires to do it through your life and my life as His heart becomes our heart. Now, I know as when we begin to talk about helping the poor and ministering to those who have great need, I know that a lot of times we kind of go and start focusing on, you know, the corruption that we see in the welfare system that, you know, in this country. I know that when you begin to speak about things like this and the topic of helping the poor and trying to meet the needs of people who are in need, there are many different convictions on the programs and the policies which are supposed to serve the interest of those who are less fortunate. But here's the truth. Helping the poor and helping those in need, even though it can be a very sticky topic, even though it can bring up a very fiery debate, we cannot debate and we cannot miss the truth that God, as the sovereign God of all the universe, cares for those who are just like that, and He wants to care for them through His people like you and me. Now, we can argue all the policies and all the programs and all of that stuff. We cannot dispute the fact that God has a heart for those in need. That He wants you and I to rise to the occasion, regardless of what that need is. The gospel calls us, no matter what it is we're going through in our lives, we're supposed to separate ourselves from our need, take God's heart to become our heart, and start ministering and meeting the needs of other people. That's the heart of God. So firstly, hey, if there are needs here, then yeah, we've got to meet those needs. But nowhere in Scripture do we find God telling us to stop here and not to go and meet the needs of others. Secondly, though, shame on you or anyone who would blame precious children again for the decisions of their parents. God has a special heart for those in need. God has a special heart for those in need, and we're supposed to meet those needs. I love the song, and you all learned it growing up. He's got the whole world in His hands. How many of you know that song? We all learned it growing up. He's got the whole world. I'm not going to sing it, but we all learned it. Every single one of us, we learned that song. And I was thinking of this week. Yeah, He's got the whole world in His hands only because He has the whole world on His heart. You see, God doesn't want anyone left out and left hurting, because He has every single person who's ever taken a breath upon this earth on His heart. And if God is so concerned about those in need, why does our heart look so different than His? His heart has to become our heart. Our hands must become His hands. Our hands must become His hands. Like I said a moment ago, God wants to meet the needs of people all around us. And if you don't see people in need around you, then you need to take the shades off and you need to open your eyes, or maybe you need to get out of the house. If you can, I understand some can't. I'm not saying that mockingly at all. But the truth is this, people are hurting everywhere, all around us. Yes, we don't have to go overseas to find people in need. All we have to do is open our eyes and open our hearts, as Christ does. And here is how people see the hands and feet of Christ at work when they see our hands and feet at work. When they see you and I moved into action and meeting the needs of people around us, that is how the world, and I believe it's one of the greatest testimonies the world can see of God's love, when the church is the visible hands and feet of Jesus Christ. Not when we gather on a Sunday morning and we say amen to all the stuff the preacher says and we shake our head and we're like, yes, this is right. We got to meet their needs, and there's so many people in need. And when we think about all those people we know in our lives in need, but then we leave and we don't do anything to meet those needs.
And we talk a good talk. We plan a good game. And nothing ever happens. That's not being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. The greatest testimony of God's love that you can ever demonstrate for someone else to see is for them to see His love shining through your life and meeting the needs they have. I want you to turn, if you want to, if not, you can just listen as I read. In Deuteronomy chapter 15, I want you to look, Deuteronomy chapter 15. We're going to look quickly at verses 7 through 11 because this passage shows us again just how important it is on the heart of God for you and I to move into action to meet the needs of other people. Not for us just to stand pridefully and proudly, you know, back and just to say, okay, I've got everything okay, my needs are met, and just overlook the needs of others, but how important it is for us to move into action and meet people's needs. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 7. And notice what God tells us here. If there be any among you, a poor man of one of thy brethren, within any of thy gates in thy land, which the Lord thy God gives you, thou shalt not harden thine heart. Stop right there. Because that is the problem with the church. That's the problem with me when I get all self-centered. That's the problem with you when you get all self-centered. That's the problem with us when we become so consumed with our needs alone that we refuse to see and to meet the needs of other people. Our hearts become hardened. He says, you should not harden your heart, nor shut your hand from thy poor brother. You see, it's a matter of the heart, or the hand will never work. If the heart isn't right, the hand will never be extended. A matter of the heart and then the hand. But thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need and that which he wanteth. Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart. He's telling us our heart is wicked if we think this, that he's about to say, saying the seventh year, the year of release is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him naught, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. In other words, don't be making excuses. Don't be trying to pass the buck onto the next person. Don't be saying that this is not the right time, this is not the right place. Doesn't that sound so familiar to how we are? How I am at times? He says in verse 10, thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him. Because that for this thing the Lord thy God will bless you in all of your works and all that you put your hand to. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to the poor, and to the needy in your land. Wow. How powerful of a message that is from God. How powerful of a message it is from God. And I believe it, and you may or may not believe, I believe this is God just reminding us that the duty of ministering to those who are poor and are needy, that falls on the church. The reason the government took that up is because the church laid that down. It's because the body of Christ quit caring for those in need the way we're supposed to. And when we relinquish the things that God has called us to do, then the government takes those things up. And that's the reason we've got it all out of sorts. God says we are the ones who are supposed to minister and meet the needs of those who are desperate, those who are hurting, those who are in need. And he says if we do that, then we're going to see the fruits of those things. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. Listen to what the Apostle John wrote in 1 John 3 and 17. Speaking to us of how important it is that we allow our hands to become his hands. John said, but whoso hath this world's good. Raise your hand if you have this world's good. Because again, I shared with you last week that if we are poor in America, we are rich in relation to probably 98, 99% of all the world. If we have this world's good and we see our brother in need and we shed our bowels of compassion from him, here's what John says, how dwells the love of God in that person? That's God. That's the Apostle John. That's not me telling us this. God is saying, if you see a need and you refuse to meet that need when you have what you need to have to meet that need, then shame on you, but not just shame on you. How is the love of God even dwelling in your heart? Our hands must become His hands. That means we need to find a need and fill it. That means we need to find a hurt and heal it. And I've always heard this, and I believe this with all of my heart. Helped people who have been helped, they help people. I believe this, healed people, people who have been healed by the power of God working through someone's life, they heal people. And here's what I also believe, and you know this to be true, saved people serve people. And we, if we claim that we've been helped, then we need to help. If we've ever been healed by God working through someone else's life, then we need to move and start letting God do the same through our lives to help someone else, to heal someone else. And if we are saved by the grace of God through faith and faith alone in Jesus Christ, then we must serve to meet the needs of other people. We cannot separate those things, if they are true of our lives, from meeting the needs of other people. Our hands must become His hands. And when we do that, our reward comes through their relief. In our focal verse in Proverbs 19, God promises to repay those who are kind to the poor. In the verses we just looked at in Deuteronomy chapter 15, God literally said, pretty much in essence, that if we open our hands wide unto those who are in need, then He's going to open His hands wide in meeting our needs. Now, we don't help so that we'll get, unless we're helping so that we'll get a blessing. You see, God has always had a way of taking the investments that you and I make into someone else's life and giving us a greater return on investment than we could ever imagine. In fact, you could take all the money that you have and you can invest it in the stock market and you can gain a financial return. But if you just take the moments of your life when God calls you to reach out and meet the needs of someone else and invest in the life of someone else, the return that you will see on that investment will far outweigh the return you will ever see on a financial investment that you can ever make in your life. Because when you get to heaven and you stand before God, it will not be the dollar signs that and the zeros that make God happy, that get the notice of God and gain the attention of God. It will be what you have done in dying to self and living for Christ, picking up your cross and following Him, making sure that you sacrifice of your own life to lift up high the needs of someone else above your own. That is what God will recognize when we stand before Him one day. And I'm glad of that, first of all, because I don't have a lot of zeros and a lot of dollar signs at this point, so I'm glad about that. I'm the one believing Jesus is going to come back. I won't need a retirement because that's my retirement. I'm believing on that right now. It's not wise, but that's just where we are right now. But the truth is this. The truth is this. When we help others, God will always bless us. Not necessarily financially. I'm not saying that if you take $150 and you give it to somebody in need and pay their power bill, that the next day, not only are you going to have $150 in your mailbox, you're going to have $300. I'm not saying that. But God will bless us and reward us in ways we may not can count here, but when we get to heaven one day, we will know the great rewards of a life that is lived surrendered to the heart of God, allowing His heart to become ours and our hands to become His hands, making a difference in the lives of those who are less fortunate. A few weeks ago, there was a couple who came up to church here during our small group time between 9:45 and the 11 o'clock service. She came back in the back and she just began to share about the needs that they had in their life. And of course, all of that is in confidential, but there's just so many needs. Didn't really have a place to stay, and you could just tell by her appearance, she hadn't eaten a lot of food. And what we try to do at Sardis is, you know, the church can't always, you know, give money to folks, and I don't always believe that's the right thing to do anyway, but we can't always do that and pay all the bills. But what we try to do, because of your kindness, and so many of you in this church, because of your kindness, we try to run a food pantry so that we can at least minister to the physical needs of people who have those needs. And it was such a blessing to be able to say to that lady, not that we couldn't help you financially necessarily, but to be able to say to her, because she was hungry, and she was literally so hungry that you could just look and tell that she hadn't eaten in a while, to be able to say, look, just give us a few moments, and there'll be some wonderful folks. They'll give you as much food as you need for at least a couple of weeks. Do you know how hungry they were? They took the food to their vehicles when our people here loaded it. They were eating the food in their vehicle before they left. They were so hungry. And we can come and we can sit on the pews and we can look at the clock and, man, we can be, it's 12 o'clock. I'm starving to death. No. No, we're not starving to death at 12 o'clock. We won't be starving to death next Sunday at 12 o'clock. But there are people who desperately need what we take, what we overlook, what we take for granted. And if we turn a darkened eye and a cold heart toward those who are in need, then I think we grieve the heart of God as his people, maybe more so than anything else can grieve the heart of God. Because throughout his word, he says, I care for those who are in need. I care for those who are hurting. I hear their cry. Will you be willing to do the same, to move and to meet the needs of those around you? I want you to watch this closing illustration as we close our time together.